Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and we have really fun guests today. Jen Milosavljevic, did I get it right?
Yes.
Excellent, is joining us to talk about dachshund field trials and earth dog events and all of the fun things that we can do with our dogs that go to ground. And this topic was a real hot topic when the dachshund that won the group at the garden this year was actually a dual champion. And that is a really big deal. And I'm hoping that Jen's going to help us talk about that and understand what that entails. And maybe we can encourage some of our dachshund lovers to go out there and get involved in some of the field events, because it's pretty fun, yeah?
Oh, it's a blast.
I love it. So first, you are a dachshund breeder. You judge field trials and earth dog events. You show your dogs in confirmation. So you have bred dual champions in dachshunds?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. Excellent. I love this. It's like my favorite topic. Okay, so give us a little bit of 411 about yourself, if you would, please, how you got started in dachshunds, and then we're going to talk about what it takes to go bunny hunting with your dachshund.
Well, I can tell you that when I was 11, we had a dachshund named Snoopy who came from the pound.
Oh.
And I love that little guy. He was awesome. He was my best friend. I taught him how to skateboard, and we played poker together and did all kinds of things. And then at one point, my parents went and got another dachshund, which they found at Kmart for $50.
Oh, my God.
Which is, that's what happens. You know,
yeah.
People want a dog. And they don't know where to get them at. You know,
right.
These cute little bundles of joy are sitting outside the store. And so that was a little Liebchen. And as a child, one of the things I wanted to do is I really wanted to show dachshunds. And we didn't have a lot of money, so I ended up getting to show rabbits for a couple of years when I was younger. Well, I still loved my dachshunds, and when I did get older, eventually, I decided to get my first AKC dachshund, which, again, found a person that had AKC registered dogs and showed up and got this little dog and had a friend who showed and showed me all of the stuff. I managed to put 3 points on him, but he was definitely a field dog. There was no doubt about it. That dog, he loved rodents. I put a hamster in a ball and he would just go nuts. And so I was talking to some people and they're like, yeah, we have these earth dog and field trials. And I thought, well, that would be interesting. So on the field trial aspect, I heard that there was a field trial down in Castle Rock, Washington.
Right.
And this is about 2003. And so I was reading all the rules about it, and I did kind of laugh because it sounded funny that you have to yell tally-ho when you see a rabbit, and people are lined up, and they're beating the brush, you know, looking for these rabbits. And I didn't understand the whole concept of it. So I took my dog down there to Castle Rock, and I spent the day with a lot of people that I had seen that show their dogs, and then some new people, and I'm standing in this gallery, and then someone would yell, tally-ho, I never saw a rabbit. I was in a dog class. We had 14 braces, and I got to run my dog. I had no idea what happened, how he did, or anything, and ended up leaving that day still kind of confused about the whole process.
Right.
And that's going to be typical for a new person coming in. You know, you're going to show up to this event. You're going to try to talk to people as much as you can, but you know, you're going to look at the whole thing going, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how well my dog did. And fortunate at this juncture, we have a lot of people that are willing to mentor new members coming in that want to try the sport.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I fell in love with it after that.
That is so cool. So the goal of a dachshund field trial is not for the dachshund to see a rabbit and chase it, right? The goal is for the dachshund to use its nose and follow the scent trail of the rabbit, correct?
Yes, the dachshund in the hound group is a scenting hound, and
right.
Having them see the rabbit can be problematic because then they start sight chasing and, you know, they're off the line. They're not using their nose like they're supposed to be. And we do have dogs that do see the rabbit. So, you know, we try to turn them around and move them and confuse them as best we can. But, you know, it is going to happen occasionally. But we want them to have the nose to the ground or some of the dog's air scent. We want to see them doing what they were bred to do.
Right. Follow the trail of the rabbit. And in these events, they get to the end of the trail and the rabbit has gone into a hole. Does then the dachshund go into the hole after them? Is that a thing?
Well, actually, the rabbit's typically long gone. By the time we get up and get the two braces up there and everybody's set and ready, it's been a, you know, good couple of minutes.
Uh-huh.
So we're hoping that the rabbit's gone by then. Now, part of the field trial rules is the dog should go to ground if the rabbit has gone in there.
Okay.
However, we don't have a lot of burrowing bunnies out here on the West Coast, so having them in a rabbit hole, I have actually not seen that before.
Interesting. Okay, so it depends on the type of rabbit you're hunting, and field trials take place all across the country, so maybe in a different part of the U.S., the rabbits will go into a hole. Is that a thing?
You know, it's quite possible. Most of these guys build their farms in nice brushes or in briar patches.
Sure.
Things where they're safe from aerial predators, typically.
Right. Wild. And my understanding, no bunnies were harmed in the participation in a field trial, right?
That's the end goal. I mean, it happens occasionally. You get a rabbit that we find that was sick or really old, or occasionally happen upon a nest in the springtime. We try not to run when they're having babies, but, you know, it happens occasionally. We don't want that, but, you know, it's something that you might see.
Okay. But for people who are not wanting to necessarily harm another creature, but who are wanting to participate and show off their dog's natural ability, this is what these dogs were designed to do, hunt rabbits and also hunt badger, which are a whole lot tougher creature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's no goal of harming any animals here at all, period. That's not something that we want to have.
Perfect. And so the field trials, you're out and you're on a piece of property that's what, couple 3 acres? How big of a space are you working in?
Well, we use some public land in Castle Rock, and I would say between the two fields, one of them's a good 30 acres. The other one's probably closer to 50.
Nice.
You got to have a lot of room. We had a private field recently, and that was probably closer to 15 acres fenced, but that one's not going to be utilized any longer.
Right. So a recall is important because you're working with these dogs and they're not in a fenced area. So that's important for these folks to understand, right?
Yes, and that's unusual because on the West Coast, we don't have any fenced areas. Our West Coast field trials basically are Washington and California, and they are public land. And recall is very important. It's actually part of the rules that you should have control of your dog. Back east, where the field trials are more prolific, they have a ton of them out there. A lot of times, they use beagle grounds, which is a very big deal on the East Coast, which are very nice grounds that are set up for the beaglers, but they get to rent them as well.
And the beagle grounds are fenced?
I'm pretty sure that they are, because that's one of the complaints I hear about people coming from the East Coast is we don't have any fences.
Interesting. Okay. Very, very cool. And so as a dachshund field trial judge, you were talking about the rules are the dog has to be responsive to the handler. It has to follow the scent trail. What else are you looking for as a judge when you watch these dogs run?
There's a lot of things that we're looking for. We're looking for that the dog is actually pursuing that particular line.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of cross tracks. We have a lot of different animals that come through. We want them to pursue that rabbit, which is going to be the freshest scent down there. They're showing us that they're interested in that scent line. They're pursuing it as far as that they can go with it. They make the checks, which is a check is a rabbit went right, a rabbit went left, a rabbit sort of zigzag. We're looking to see how well they're going to process that particular scent line and how cooperative are they going to be with their brace mate. Each of these dogs are, it's kind of a lottery. We get up, we draw in the morning, and this is who you're going to be braced with.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a cooperation with each other, no interference, and we're looking for the handlers to sit there and watch their dog and be quiet. We want to make sure they're not backtracking, which is something where they start going backwards and heading in the wrong direction.
Right.
We want to look for dogs that are not opening. one of the things is where a dog, if they get the scent line, and you'll see this more in Bassets and Beagles and some dachshunds where they start voicing on the line.
Nice.
That is a positive. There's a lot of dachshunds that don't do that. They may snarfle. We're looking at some ownership of the line. We don't want them ghost trailing where they're off trailing off of a different type of a line. If you want to look at the rules specifically, they are on the AKC.org.
Right. We'll put a link for people to go check that out. So I know how I start bird dogs. How do you start bunny dogs? How do you get them interested? How do you train them? How do you get them excited about this particular game that they want to play?
Well, one of the things that I look for in litters, and this is my personal preference, and I've heard a lot of different theories of how people want to train their dogs, but this is what I do. Dogs that have a high toy drive typically are going to be more interested. I have some rabbit fur, and over the years, sometimes bunnies lose fur and tails off of bushes, and I've picked those up along the way, and I kind of stick it in front of their face and see how excited they are about it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just babies that are sitting there when they're 6 weeks old sitting, but I've got a new litter, and I'm looking at a dog for confirmation, but I want a dog that's going to go out and hunt. This is how I kind of start segregating. And then once they start getting a little bit older, I start with some very, very basic tracking training with them.
Okay.
And it's as simple as having some treats in your hand and walking forward and dropping a few treats here and there, maybe making a one check. And I'm looking at maybe 10 to 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get this puppy out there. I'm going to put him on a line. And I'm going to start them out where the treats are. They're scenting me at this point.
Right.
I want them to scent, and they get rewarded each time they keep going on the scent line. It starts teaching them how to use a track and to start smelling me. And the terrain that I use, it's going to be just something that's not going to hold as much scent. I'd rather them start getting used to having less scent.
Okay.
Because if they can scent something that's a lighter scent, they're going to do much better in the field versus a heavy grass with a lot of dew on it,
mm-hmm.
which is the easier
right.
old scent.
Right.
I start with these little simple tracks. It doesn't take much time. I can increase those. I've used rabbits that have passed. You can sometimes find them on the road. It sounds kind of gross, but or if you know somebody that like that has a lot of rabbits and they pluck them off. And again, this might be offensive to some. But we've used these. We've put them in the freezer, put them on a line, drag them in a particular pattern, and then let the dog start sniffing that.
Mm-hmm.
There are products out there. They use a lot of dummies for bird dogs.
Right.
And you can get rabbit scent. And I've put the scent on those dummies and dragged them. What I have to be careful, though, is that they are scenting me as well.
Right.
So I'm trying to maybe toss this dummy off somewhere else, make a little line, and then bring the dog over to that. So I start that tracking, and then I let them actually, if I do have a dead rabbit, I let them get a little interested and kind of hyped up about that. I might stick it in a small kennel at the end of the track, and it kind of makes them excited.
Right.
And then I take them out to an actual field. I start taking them out to the field and letting them sniff around. And I take them with an older dog that has got a lot of field trial experience, and they learn from each other as well.
Yes, they definitely do in bird dogs. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know. I promised I was never going to sing again, but I'm saying our new audiobook is available now. Whoop! Yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included. because shipping is free. That's on me. And I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more. And this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow. In the Dachshund Field Trials, I mean, I know the point schedule to earn a field trial championship for pointing breeds. What is it like for dachshunds? How does that work? Is it super, super hard? Is it relatively easy? How is that process?
Well, you know, the process is essentially you have to have 35 points with a first placement and a total of 3 placements under 3 different judges.
Okay.
That will obtain your field champion. Now, depending on where you go in the country, right now we sort of have lower numbers. So we may not have enough dogs. We barely can make a dog class. We have a minimum of 6 dogs. The winner gets number 1. They get 6 points.
Oh, okay.
Number 2 gets a half a point for each entered, so that becomes 3 points. Number 3 gets a third, so that's 2.
So that's actually good. I mean, you guys are getting points even for placements where the amateur stakes in pointing breeds do, but in the open stakes, you have to win it. It's the only way you get points. So it's good. That to me seems like a more encouraging way to do that.
And if you were looking to finish a dog, we have about 6 trials out in this region a year in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
6 weekends, so that's 12 trials. If
right.
You're getting 4th place a lot with 1.5 points, it's going to take a little bit to get to that 35-point mark.
Right.
It's just sometimes it is.
You know. Do they have concepts of majors? You know, like we have in confirmation, we have them in pointing breeds. Do they have, you know, you have to defeat X number of dogs and earn what you would think of as a major? Do they have that idea in Dachshund Trials?
Nope.
Okay.
No defeating of other, just getting that 1 first place is going to be a requirement.
Got it. Okay. Excellent. And you said your minimum to make a dog class or to make a class of dogs to compete is 6, right?
Yes. And if we don't have 6 and we have to combine with the bitches,
okay,
then that becomes problematic because if there's a bitch in season, then she has to be polled.
Right. Excellent. Fascinating stuff. And then compare this or give us a little bit of juxtaposition, if you will, to the Earth Dog, which is a test versus a trial. Right? A trial is competitive. A test is pass-fail. Talk to us a little bit about the Earth Dog tests.
So in comparison to field trials, they're going to be a little bit different with the exception of those dogs that get up to the master level, they are required to do a hunt up to the tunnel.
Oh, interesting.
So if you have a dog that's been doing field trials,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be able to do that particular hunt up, which is what we refer to as casting in field trials. I always tell them when I do my spiel, hey, I'm looking for a dog that's going to go out there and bring me home dinner tonight.
Right.
And so that's what I want to see out of your dogs is they're actively pursuing and looking for game versus we're going for a walk in the woods.
Right, right. And then in Earth Dog, they actually have to go to ground versus the field trials where you're saying they only do that if the bunny has actually gone to ground, right?
That's correct. The Earth Dog, they have several tests. They have the first one, what's called Intro to Quarry. And the Earth Dog is for dachshunds and then the terrier breeds. So I've seen, actually, Bedlingtons
mm-hmm.
in the tunnel.
Cool.
Which is a large dog. We're talking this tunnel is a 9-inch by 9-inch opening. And those guys get on their belly and they crawl through there.
Wow.
So we have an Intro to Quarry, which is a very basic test. It takes 30 seconds to pass, but they have a 10-foot dark tunnel that they have to go in with one turn.
Mm-hmm.
And to pass the test, they have to do what's called working the quarry. The quarry is going to be a couple of wraps sitting in a nice secured box behind 3 additional wood dowels to keep them safe.
Right.
So working constitutes digging, barking, growling, biting the bars. Anything that the judge can say is going to get to the rack.
Right.
Yeah, if they manage to do that for 30 seconds in intro, they pass.
Okay.
There's no title for intro. It's just a basic run for newer ones to kind of get the idea of, hey, this is what we're going to do. Our next test, which is a qualifier, which would be a junior Earth Dog, they have to pass that twice under 2 different judges. It's a 30-foot tunnel that they have to navigate with a 10-foot start. So they're going 40 feet in 45 seconds, 3 90-degree turns that get you into the rat quarry, and they're going to have to work those for a minute.
Wow.
They do that twice. They get a JE with Junior Earth Dog title.
Mm-hmm.
Senior and Master are still going to be 30-foot tunnels. They have a 20-foot lead-up time. The time increases. Senior, I think, is one of the harder ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the dog goes in, there's also a false entrance exit. So the dog actually has to go into the right hole. If they go into the wrong one and start working the rats, they fail. They've got 90 seconds to navigate. They get down there. They work for 90 seconds. Then we take the rats out, and then the handler has to stand at the entrance and try to get their dog to leave that tunnel.
That sounds like it could be entertaining.
I have seen people die for their dogs, literally, because they're trying to grab it before it runs back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another where recall can be, you know, essential, getting your dog out.
Yeah.
It can be fun. And you're standing there as a handler, and you have to be quiet.
Mm.
You can't see anything going on. You're listening, and, you know, you're trying to mind meld with that dog in the tunnel.
Wow.
Oh, please work those bars. Please work it. You know, you can talk to your dog while you're sitting there. I just see the look on people's face, and I've stood there, too.
Right.
It's nerve-wracking.
And so the judges can see what the dog is doing, but the handler can't.
Well, we normally can't really see. It's dark in there. There's a small slit, but I try not to look directly in there because some dogs will look up at you, and if you make eye contact with them, they'll lose it.
Oh,
so I've got little tricks, like I put a big piece of grass where I can see it, and then I can see the dog actually get there because I have to time how long it takes to get there, how long it takes for them to start working, how long do they work for.
Right.
But, yeah, I try not to look directly at the dog. When we get to the master level, we just cover it. We cover it. You don't see them. You're just listening to what they're doing in there.
Huh?
Master level has a false bedding area, too.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, another false entrance. And then they've got a couple of things. One's called a route, and the other one's called a constriction, where it makes the tunnel actually smaller. And this is where sometimes the miniature bull terriers don't get up to the master level or the Bellingtons because it does make it a lot smaller for them to get in there.
Right.
But they've got 90 seconds, and then at one point I start digging, making like I'm trying to dig them out of the hole.
Uh-huh.
The handler has to come over, and we get them out. They pass everything. While they're doing this, they're braced up with a partner who's sitting at the other end, and the handler's job is to sort of keep their dog quiet and not interfere, and it's called honoring.
Right. Okay.
And they're jacked up. They're jacked up because the other dog's working the rats. They want to be in there working the rats. One of my dogs, he had the hardest time passing honoring. And I would tell the people, I'm like, you can sit there and pet him and talk lightly to him, but if I'm over there and I look and you got this full hold on him and you're laying on him, I said, that probably isn't going to work.
Chokehold is definitely out. Okay, got it.
Yeah, the chokehold is out. I had one dog who just, he had the hardest time, but he liked to eat grass. And I'd sit there and just give him some grass while he was sitting there.
If he's throwing up the grass he ate, he can't bark at the dog in the tunnel.
No,
awesome.
No. It finally just kind of took him off his attention away for just that 90 seconds, long enough. But he sometimes failed the honoring part of
it. Wow.
And then the one dog goes in, passes, then you know, we switch dogs, and the other one goes in. They do that big hunt up. So the master's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
But they have to pass that 4 times to get a master tunnel, 3 times for senior. And then we have this new iron dog. It's been around for, I call it new, but it's probably been around 8 to 10 years. Pass senior and master in the same day, and you do it like 5 times, you get an EE, which is, they call it iron dog now, endurance. So EE title.
Got it. Very cool. Thank you so much for coming and talking about this. I mean, I can make comparisons to pointing dogs and all of this makes sense, but I think it is so fabulous for our folks out there listening that don't have any idea. And I love introducing the performance events to people because I just think this is the most fun you can have with your dog. I love showing my dogs, but when you see them doing what they were bred for generations and generations and generations specifically to do this task, it's a whole nother reality, man.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to sit there and watch your dog work a line. And you're just watching them. And it's kind of like a proud
parent
sometimes. And then I mean, you're out in the outdoors with people, and it's just a good time, you know. It's fairly laid back, and most of the people that come and do these activities also show.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of champions out there. They may not be the, you know, number one, you know, right, town group in Westminster, but we have a lot of dual champions in the breed.
And I think that is so cool. I love that. I think that is something that really needs to be brought to light. So that's why I had you come and talk to us today. And Jen, I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.